God is in control. She's a happy girl.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to another podcast of Woman at the Well Ministries, where we believe that all of us have to come to Jesus like the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Our highest priority is making God real in your life. Whether you are listening in our app, in your favorite podcasting app, or on our website at watwm.org, we invite you to sit down with us as we look to the scriptures to learn more about God and to strengthen your daily walk with Jesus Christ.
Living her life for Christ. She's a happy girl.
The Bible tells us to be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking to devour you, in 1 Peter 5:8. God even goes so far as to tell you that you war against principalities of darkness and not with things of this world, in Ephesians 6:12. Join us in this podcast of Woman at the Well Ministries as Kim takes us on a journey through the scriptures, equipping us with God's plan for defeating the devil.
Hello, and thank you for joining us in this podcast of Woman at the Well Ministries as we take a close look at how the devil works and how subtle he is. And we're going to take a look at the life of Judas and the life of Eve and see how the devil just wormed his way into the open cracks that both of those individuals had given him. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you that you have given us all that we need in order to live the godly life that you've called us. I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for dwelling in every believer's heart. And Lord, I ask that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see, and a heart that is full of your love and your mercy and your grace. And Lord, that we would put you first in all things and in all ways. Lord, help us to be good soldiers of the cross. Help us, Lord, to be looking for the devil and allowing you to work in us and through us, defeat him each and every time. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. The scripture we're going to look at is Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 through 16, and he says this: Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. This is Jesus he's talking about. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Judas was a person who walked with Jesus all the time. And I believe that Judas loved Jesus. I believe that he followed him in many ways. I believe that he cared about him in many ways. But Judas ends up selling Jesus for money. And we think about that for a moment and we say to ourselves, how could Judas have ever loved him? How could Judas love him and betray him? And the thought I want to lay before your hearing right now is this: we love him. As born-again believers in Jesus Christ, we love Jesus. But I believe that every day we are faced with opportunities to betray him. And I think that unfortunately there are some times that we make decisions that are contrary to the love we have for Jesus. And in Judas's instance, his love for money was greater than his love for Jesus. And the Bible says that we're to have no other gods before him. The Bible explains to us that we must love Jesus with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul, our whole strength, and that we must serve him and him only. So as we look at this passage of scripture in Matthew 26, let's get off our high horses for a moment and let's look at how things are in our own lives. See, I don't believe that Judas ever started out with the intent to betray Jesus. In fact, I think it was just the opposite. I think that's why he hung out with him. Because let's face it, he probably could have had a more lucrative job somewhere else. He probably could have done better somewhere else. But Judas had a problem, and that is, though he loved Jesus, he loved money. And he loved money more than he loved Jesus. And see, the devil, he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But I want you to also know he's subtle. He's always on the job. And as you open up the doors of your life and your heart and your mind, even just a small crack, he oozes in like lava flowing downhill. The devil wants to distract you from the truth. And the devil wants to pull you away from Jesus. And he certainly doesn't want you doing the Lord's work. But he's patient. See, the devil will wait, and he lies in wait, trying to trip you and cause you to stumble. And some of us, we don't remove these rocks out of our lives. We just go head first, headlong into the world, following our fleshly desires. We trip up over the devil, and we find ourselves in need of forgiveness because we have just betrayed what our heart knows is right when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. See, we all know how to treat a friend. The scriptures also tell us how to treat a friend, but we know what it means to love someone, that we care more for them than we care for ourselves. We know what it means to love someone and we want what's best for them. We know what it means to support a friend, to help a friend in need. And when we set out to be a friend, that's the friend we choose to be. But as time goes on and opportunities come our way that we think are better, we sometimes leave our friends in the dust. Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I'm afraid that there are opportunities in our life that the devil places before us where we choose things we like to do, people we love, over what Jesus says to do. And in Mark 8:36, he says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" See, Matthew walked and talked with Jesus. It's safe to say that Matthew had absolutely everything that he needed. It's safe to say that when he walked with Jesus, he lacked nothing. For some reason, money still meant more to him. And we see in John chapter 12 and verse 6, it says that Judas was a thief. So Jesus knew from the start what Judas was going to do. And in the upper room, Jesus knew that Judas had a devil in him, yet he showed him the same kindness that he had showed to every other disciple. And Jesus didn't put any mark of shame or treat him differently because he knew he was a thief, as we're told in John chapter 12, verse 6, because he embezzled from the disciples. But there's no record in Scripture where he was ever in danger of being charged with this crime. Jesus treated Judas like he treated everyone else. And there's a lot of different things in Scripture that leads me to believe that it wasn't that he hated Jesus that caused him to sell Jesus to someone else, but that it was his love of money. And that it wasn't anything else that made Judas a traitor. He just loved money more than Jesus. And it begs this question in our lives. What truly is the most important thing to you? Do you really put God in front of your family? Do you really put God in front of your finances? Do you put God in front of your hobbies? Or do you have something else that is at the center of your life and everything else rotates around it? Those are questions that are not that difficult to answer, because if you take a look at your schedule, what is the thing that doesn't get moved? What is the thing that everything else is planned around? For many of us, we work. And for most of us, we work around a 40-hour job a week. And most of us probably have set days. And so because we have to take care of our family and we have to take care of ourselves, we plan everything around that because we understand the importance of it. But there's a whole bunch of us within the sound of my voice who work Monday through Friday. And Sunday, they don't have that obligation. But yet, they don't plan with the same kind of bold ink in their schedule to be at church on Sunday morning. Because they say, well, that's my only day for family. Really? You can't give God a couple of hours on Sunday with your family? The family that God gave you? And we have our children and ourselves and hobbies and in things that bring us great joy. And we'll often just put church aside or serving the Lord aside to make those happen. And then there's a matter of reading your Bible in 2 Timothy 2:15 that says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we do everything else all day long, but we don't spend time in the word of God. How can you claim the promises of God that you do not know? How can you have faith in Jesus when you don't know who he is? How can you know the answer to life's problems when you're not seeking him in Bible study and in prayer? Friends, we betray our hearts, which belongs to Jesus, when we do not give Jesus any time in our life. The devil's subtle. He'll do it one step at a time. If you would, please, I ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 3, a familiar account in the scriptures, and it begins as this. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So right here we have a situation where Eve is talking to the serpent. First of all, I want you to see that she lingers. God has already told her what is true. The scriptures are there for you to know what God says. You can pray and talk to the Lord and he will answer you because Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And the word of God doesn't change and God doesn't change. And so you have the truth before you. And she knew what God had said. He said, don't eat of the tree. But then the serpent says, you won't die. And then he goes on to continue his lie. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So look what happened. She lingers with the devil. She listens to what the devil says. She opened a crack because she listened to the one she should not be listening to. And she allowed him to continue. She did not shut him down. And she did not refute him with the word of God. She did not refute him for the truth. Because when she said what God said, and then he said what he said, she didn't say, but God said, not eat. Therefore, I won't eat. Instead, she let him continue to talk about what he thought was the reason God wouldn't let her eat. And she lingered. See, this is how sin works in our lives. See, first it starts as an exposure to it. And sometimes we can't help it. You might be driving down the road and see something. Someone may call and talk to you, and immediately before you can get them stopped, they say something. But what happens next, you're in full control of. See, because when you start thinking about sin and you start fantasizing about how you would like to do it and what it would look like and how you could get it done. Then you begin to desire it. And when you desire it, you're sunk because you're going to do it. It's just a matter of time. So we have to stop sin between thinking of it, being exposed to it, or being told of it, and fantasizing about it. How do we do that? With the Word of God. You know immediately when it's not right. And when that Holy Spirit within you whispers in your heart and says, run, danger, danger, get away, don't do it. That's when you stop it. And you don't allow people to talk about it and to justify it. You don't justify it. You don't try to figure out why it is that you want to do it. You don't figure out how it would be okay. You get away and you don't linger in a conversation with the devil. See, the devil right there, he was subtle. He just kept talking. She kept listening. See, I believe Matthew in Matthew 26:14-16 explains to us a little bit about what happened with Judas. So I believe Judas put himself in a place where he was around money. And Judas knew that money meant a lot to him. Judas knew that he had a love for money. And so instead of removing the temptation from himself, he buried himself right in it and became the one who was in charge of the money for the 12 disciples. And with time, he chose to do the wrong thing. And as Judas continued to think about money, which had to be his driving force, he had everything he wanted. He was welcomed wherever Jesus was. He didn't need anything. Money caused him to open himself up and to use Jesus as a commodity, as a way to make money, to betray him and sell him. It all started with his love of money. In fact, Judas takes the first offer that he has because it looked good to him. And he was in gain. He was making money. Friend, I don't know what it is that tempts you. But if you open up that crack, he's going to come in. If you give the devil an inch, he's going to become the ruler of your life. You see, he's patient. He doesn't have to win the battle because he's going for the war. And his philosophy is if he just keeps coming around, that you'll just keep entertaining him until he wears you down and he's in the door. And once he's in the door, once you have that crack and let him in, he's going to bound that door right down and he is full-fledged in your life. And our flesh wants the lies of the devil. And the next thing you know, you are fully entrenched in betraying Jesus and serving Satan. But God understands that Satan's coming after you, so he's given you everything that you need. In 1 John 4:4, he says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He also explains that when we come to him as children, seeking him as Savior, asking him to be king of our life and the ruler and Lord of our hearts, that sin no more has dominion over us. He explains that old things are passed away and all things are become new. But that's when we focus on Jesus. That's when we allow him to rule in our hearts and our minds. And we have to make a decision to choose Jesus and not the world. The Bible tells us that Jesus said to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. We are saved by the sinless, spotless blood of Jesus Christ, and no man can pluck us out of his hand, according to John 10:28. We are safe and secure in Jesus, but we have to make a decision every day to choose to live for Jesus. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The devil is patient, but you've got to be strong. And Jesus in you is stronger than him, and the light of life lives in you, and it pushes out all darkness, but you've got to choose him. You've got to choose to live for Jesus. You can't serve two masters, for either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll hold to the one and despise the other. Scripture says in Matthew 6:24 that you can't serve God and mammon. Revelation 3:16 says that because you were lukewarm, you were neither cold or you were neither hot, you neither would cling to Jesus or not, that he'll spew you out of your mouth. See, if you don't choose Jesus, you've chosen the devil. And he's given us all that we need to defeat him. It starts with choosing Jesus. And in Ephesians 6, we're given the beautiful armor of God, where we have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, and covering our feet with the gospel of peace. He's never lost a battle, and he's not going to begin by losing yours, but you've got to understand, like little David did, that the battle's not yours, it belongs to the Lord. See, when David was faced with the giant, he did not hang out and talk to the giant. No, he went to Jesus. He used what Jesus had given him. He didn't use the things of the world because it didn't fit. That's why he didn't use the world's armor. But he took his stones and his slingshot, and in the name of the Lord, he shot the slingshot, hits the giant in the forehead, and the giant falls forward. You know why? Because it wasn't David's slingshot that slew the giant. It was Jesus. It was God. And David is triumphant because he walked through the battle with his giants in the name of the Lord, covered with what God had covered him in, purposed in his heart to follow what God said do. He didn't have any time to linger with the devil. He didn't pay any attention to what anyone else said. He simply walked with Jesus and God. He didn't have the Holy Spirit living in him, and you do. So every day you face this world, you are facing it with the Holy Spirit in you if you are a born-again Christian, with Jesus praying for you and leading you and guiding you, and with God being the great I am for you. Friends, you need to know that Jesus loves you. And even though opportunities arise, you don't seize the opportunity to do wrong, but you live each moment in faith in Jesus Christ, in his mercy and his grace, being the light of the world, letting your light so shine before men that they see your good works and they glorify your Father which is in heaven. Daniel's light was so bright that even when his circumstances turned bleak and he was thrown in the lion's den, those around him said, "Your God whom you serve, he will deliver thee." We need to spend time in the Word of God. We need to suit up for the battle with the devil that's coming, with full confidence that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We are just pilgrims passing through. This world is not our home. And unless you throw up the white flag, open up the door for the devil to get in, the victory is yours because the battle belongs to the Lord. Remember, you are loved. Jesus loves you.
Thank you for joining us in today's podcast. You can visit the show notes for quotes from today's podcast and scripture references. We pray today has been a blessing, and we encourage you to reach out to us through our app, our website, or our Facebook page. You can find our app by searching for Woman at the Well Ministries in your app store or through our website at watwm.org. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/watwm. If you visit our website, you'll be able to subscribe to Bible Bits, a daily devotion written by Kim and delivered Monday through Friday by text message. Woman at the Well Ministries is a nonprofit organization dedicated to serving our Heavenly Father, and it is through your loving and generous support that our ministry continues to bless others. To learn how to partner with Woman at the Well Ministries, please visit our website. Thank you to the gospel group Fudge Creek for letting us use their hit song, Happy Girl. We greatly appreciate your prayers. We are praying daily for our listeners. Remember that God loves you. You are loved.
Happy girl.